Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, everybody. I want to make sure we are live, ready, and ready to go. So welcome to Talk Radio Viva, time to break those chains, strategies to implement change. Tonight's show is going on rather late. I had a lot of things going on this week, but I managed to get all the things I wanted to get done. I just want to make sure that we are good to go on sound check. All right, so we're good to get on sound check. So the show must go on. Like I told you guys, these are going to be some shorts this particular month and everything else. And these are just small strategies and things like that, strategic management, for us to be able to handle a level of implementing change and time to break those change, strategies to implement change. Part of that is changing the way we handle things, changing the way we handle life, and strategic planning of all things that come along in life that we weren't planning for to happen. And I will give you a prime example of that is in my environment. It has been less than stellar. It has been miserable in the hardship that I've been having to deal with the ACNX, and having to deal with my environment being as toxic as possible. But I still let the show go on, and I told you guys I'm not going to let that stop me from coaching and being a fantastic coach that I am. We're going to continue going. So, again, that's part of the time to break those change strategies to implement change. It's all about mindset. And I wanted to get into that with you guys because I think a lot of people don't understand that mindset plays a factor into everything in our strategies for how we succeed in life and also how we begin to look at our self-esteem. And we're going to talk about those different things in our conversation today. And I want you guys to understand with the seminar how important it is to do all that. But let me go ahead and get our clubhouse together and everything else so that my members on clubhouse can come visit us and see us. I told you guys, I've been doing a social media detox and changing platforms and things like that because I'm quite sick of the things that have been going on, Twitter, Facebook, and things like that. It's been just not conducive for my business and business growth, so I want to be around like-minded individuals and people who are a little bit more inclined to not be as immature and childish. So with that being said, I want to make sure that I get everything situated here. So I'll give you guys the club room, and I will tell you guys I want to make sure that we're doing everything to make sure it's engaging. And with our strategies for success is to talk about ourselves and then look at the levels of don't tolerate, but be happy in the blessing and adversity and one step at a time and live the dream and get closer to your dreams. And part of that is like that song by Goopoly, Closer to My Dreams. I love that song for one reason. It's that there are times when we really have felt that, you know, we kind of felt like we didn't have our dreams come true or they didn't come true the way we thought they should. And we end up finding a way to get closer to our dreams by making a strategy. So with that being said, I'm hoping that we get to a place that we can continue a level of conversation like this and make sure that we are doing everything to open up the doors to having these conversations about strategies to implement change and things like that. So that's part of that. So you're welcome to come into the room. I'm making sure it's just one of these ones where it's open hallway for you to come in and things like that. So let me go ahead and get this going. So it is an open room. And you all are welcome to join. I'm going to go ahead and share it with you guys. So that we can have this good conversation, and you're welcome to come in the room. And allow you to raise your hands as you come into the room and things like that and ask questions as we go through our coaching today. And it's also posted to Facebook, so you guys are welcome to do that. It is posted to Pinterest. And Dawn Diva Coaching's Twitter profile, as well as IMCC Coaching and Team Wolf. So you're more than welcome to follow those accounts. And those are the business accounts for Dawn Diva Coaching, IMCC Coaching, and Team World Online for children, adolescents, young adults. For my babies, you need to understand you should be in bed by now. If you are not, This is for adult and adult conversations. If you hear anything, you better ask your parents for permission to be in the room before I allow you inside. I do not allow anybody under the age of 18 into my conversations and things like that. But if you are hitting that age of 17, ask your parental unit permission. And I want to make sure I give respect and courtesy as I am a mother. So everybody's invited to the room and strategies to implement change. And the strategies for success, as we were talking about, are a level of practical time saving and also enhancing in your mindset and how you're going to grow through things. And every person has a creation of himself and an image of our own thinking and believing as individuals and think and believe so they are. And that's by Claude Bristol. And then health is the first wealth. That is by unknown. And the other thing is that when your self-worth goes up, your net worth goes up, and that's by Mark Victor Hansen. And, you know, taking care of yourself is not a selfish act. I want people to understand why it's not a selfish act to do that. You know, we are all just comfortable dozing off. We're all comfortable trying to ignore the all-too-familiar pre-flight instructions, like when we're on a plane, boarding a plane. But we never think about what we did to taxi at the end of the day, just like a plane that goes in the airport, taxis down the runway, and takes off. Same way it has to taxi back into the airport and it has to go to the levels of the end of the runway and safely park. So when we think about all these things, we have to think about the thing of oxygen and the levels and layers of self-care and taking care of ourselves is not a selfish act. So I want you guys to understand that in all circumstances, we have to learn how to breathe and stop, help ourselves before we help others. So I want you guys to get that understanding of that strategy. And part of that is I have met the enemy, and it is the eyes of other people. That's by Ben Franklin, and you are your own authority. Choose not to be affected by the negative opinions, attitudes, or environment of others. That's by unknown. So I want you guys to understand that as a strategic mindset and set us forward, and then to look at our self-esteem. And by the look at that, it's a level of a revolutionary approach of self-understanding and self-awareness. And I want you guys to understand that self-esteem plays a part in codependency. And the one thing we need most in life is something only one person can give us. And I want you guys to understand what this means in this layer of this presentation is only you can give yourself the most precious gift in the world, a real and genuine sense of your own self-value, self-worth, and self-esteem. Now, that's fascinating, isn't it? But it's in the groundbreaking level of mindset and how we think. And, you know, why do we need self-esteem? What happens when you don't have it there? And then we think about the therapeutic approaches that are based on the views of man or as a puppet or a machine. So we put our self-esteem in the center of that picture, and it shows how we can make that work for us, and we no longer become the puppet. We become the puppet master, and we begin to look at our working on our values, our inner you, our inner values, and our self-worth and our goals. And part of that self-esteem is that the self-esteem is your greatest need. So we're going to learn about the psychology of the self and then begin to look at the breaking free and begin to look at a revolutionary level of psychological building blocks and theories and distinguished practice levels of therapies that are in California as well as other parts of the world. And then on top of that, a level of biocentric psychology and things like that and a level of teaching this phenomenon across the world with gurus everywhere. And then it conducts a level of a seminar and therapeutic approaches and psychological, marital, and also psychiatric levels of doctrine to go along with that. And part of this is a level of self-esteem and the disowned self, the psychology of the romantic love and the psychology of self-esteem, part of the things that are part of our life that make us grow and then go. And then sometimes we end up stunting our growth, and we don't have enough self-esteem to love thyself, understand the shadow work that has to be done. And part of that shadow work that has to be done is a level of, you know, psychology as a science, but also as a practicum, and then a level of being an irrational being and a being a violation of consciousness, emotions, and mental health and wellness. Part of that is the nature and the source of self-esteem. And then we have to look at the pseudo self-esteem and pathological levels of anxiety, you know, the things that happen to us, panic attack about life and life changes, hardships, and then social metaphysics and self-esteem, as well as romantic love and psychotherapy and psychoanalysis of our psychological self. So part of that is all that in the levels of psychology and self-esteem. And in of the study of the actions of the intimate and animate levels of matter and possessing the power of self-consciousness and power of contemplating his or her own life and activity and a profound need for conceptual frame of reference for each one of these points of view and perspective. So I want you guys to understand all of that on that. And that's enough of that psycho babble mumbo jumbo. I like to stay on layman's with you guys so that we can get to the nitty gritty nuts and bolts of the presentation without going too far in the biometrics of psychology and psychiatry. So part of that is being mindful. And then on top of that, we have to look at our levels of our spirit guide, our spirit animal, and things like that that come within us. And we think about our spirit animal for one reason, protection, guidance, and wisdom in our power. So when we think about this, we look at our levels of ourself on the metaphysical, biological, and mental, emotional health, and what our spirit animal and our spirit guide, and usually that's what we call our chakra, and whatever animal that represents all of that, that's where the spirit animal center guide comes in. And we'll talk about that a little later, but I want you guys to understand how things are like signs when you look at it outside, when you see butterflies or when you see things on the zodiac sign. And a lot of that goes into wisdom, power, understanding ascension, and those levels of healing and things like that as you go through levels and layers of the psychological, metaphysical, biophysical, things like that, and your environmentals. And all that comes into play later in the ascension chakra work and the inner energy work and things like that. So we're not going to get too far deep into that because that goes into meditation and getting yourself into a mindful level of elevation, ascension, as I was telling you guys. So that's deeper, and I don't want to get into that just yet. So we think about all these different things. We have to think about how our emotional resilience goes, and I want to give you guys some tools in this because I thought about this the other day when we were talking about emotional resilience, and then this goes into children, and we look at the healthy mindset of understanding all of that and then transforming the mind. Part of that is a look for being healthy and professional, personal, and then a level and layer of transforming the mind in a better process mindset and how you begin to look at the transpersonal physiology, psychology, and then the transpersonal psychology of the work of that, recovering to the higher self, and then what's required of you, the evolution of man or woman, and the transpersonal psychology of the child personality and what we develop as an adult. And, you know, when we think about this children, adolescents, young adults, and the things that we need to do as parent, adult, child, and then sub-personalities in the man and the versus the machine, and then conscious levels of ascension and the work that has to be done, and its defense mechanisms that come into play, fear and attachment, and things like that, and how we get more attached to time and time being money, and then on top of that, understanding levels and layers of stress and the total cost of fear, and the fear of change, or the time to break those chains and strategies to implement change, and the fear of change is what keeps us from being rational versus irrational and staying in the same mindset. And then we have to learn how to combat distortion. And then on top of that, the levels of distorted thinking that people end up having, common misconceptions, and rational emotive therapy that has to be put in place. And those are part of psychiatric and levels that I will tell you to go see a medical doctor at that point and a what we call a social worker on the levels of ARNT, PA, and things like that. Those that have those credentials to be able to diagnose, treat, and begin to look at med management in between while you're going through that transitional phase of time to break those change, strategies to implement change, especially if those changes are causing a level of mental health, emotional health, or compromise to well-being, or breakdown of well-being due to situations that have distorted your thinking or rational emotive levels of thinking. And then on top of that, secondary emotional disturbances or interferences or irrational levels of beliefs that come into place after you become through a level of layers of trauma or PTSD from levels of life changes, or even grief or grief infliction and things like that, or unnecessary series of unfortunate events. And then we think about the shame attacking and people who want to shift the blame from their part into those situations and whatnot, and going from a level of understanding of not blame shifting or projecting, but beginning to accept and have radical acceptance of different things and taking responsibility and ownership and self-esteem versus self-acceptance and towards anything against and away from you. Anything that does not leave an imprint of certain types of positive imprint versus negative imprint, and the semantic mind and the sexuality that comes into it, and the duality of all of that, and our mental self, our emotional self, our sexual self, our financial self, and our mental, emotional, and rational emotive stuff that goes all into play when we go into intimate levels of layers of that. So I want you guys to understand all of those different things. And then when we get into the third part of that, communication and analysis of that and being able to analyze, are we effective communicators and discharging traumatic incidences in a personally professionally and good, rational, emotive way, and a cognitive way, and then a dialectical way, and modes of representation of that, and filtering and learning the state of dependent memory versus recovery memories, and recalling something and life-changing and charting those changes. I began to look at the Zen part of this, and that's where ascension comes into place, our spirit animal, our spirit warrior, the inner wolf pack that comes out of us, or the inner wolf out of us, and we begin to go into survival mode, beast mode, and begin to look at the level of the sexual woman, sexual man, and begin to go back into our primordial state, and begin to look at the release techniques and procedures, or levels and layers of finding out what works best for us. And this is where I wanted to get into levels and layers of what we call fact-finding. And part of this goes into court, family law, and then it goes into levels of legal and levels of law enforcement overlapping in agency and being able to look at those for the parents. As long as there's parents involved and the situation is not toxic, or there's a miracle and there's no children involved and it's not toxic, or a level of professional and it's not toxic workplace environment, or any other type of things like that that become toxic in the level of responsibility and assigning responsibility, not blame, or levels of reducing projection and levels and layers of toxic relationships not overlapping, inner layers of work, professional relationships, and then on top of that, if you've got both, then you're having to alleviate those levels of layers of misconduct or abuse or anything that's arising causing the levels of toxicity and what we call a compromise to MWR, which is a military term for morality, recreation, and welfare. And when you think about all of that, what does that say to you? Morality is the morale within the organization or organizational structure. And we think about that in the same thing with a household, marriage, or even relationship with parents, or even if you as a parent and what you're transferring to your children based on generational change or generational, what we call, the generational chains that are toxic that are keeping you chained to the same mechanisms that are not healthy and not causing growth. So when you think about reframing all of that, is it their responsibility versus is it my responsibility? And then explorations in the dilemma, and then looking at the level of reversal theory and the splitting of the brain that happens when you have to go to a level of cognitive dissonance when you're dealing with trauma therapies, and levels of when you go into disorders or things that happen to people. And here's another thing that I hate for people to do. Y'all love to play about mental health disorders, and y'all like to play in people's faces about all kinds of things. And people can be easily misdiagnosed with disorders that they don't have when they're dealing with more trauma and PTSD versus any other disorders that look the same. So with that being said, that's the reason why I said fact-finding is important for the psychiatrist, psychologist, the MD, the doctor, or anybody on staff who has to do the interviews and things like that, because patients will fall through the cracks in the sense of not doing the forensic work or the important fact-finding work that would be required of the court and those that are so-called experts, which I can't stand them when they say they're experts, but you're not an expert in anything unless you've either been through it or you apply the book smarts plus emotional intelligence and do the fact-finding work that's required. Part of that is understanding if you get the facts, the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, part of that interview and that part of that fact-finding allows you to go to the integral part of reframing where do I need to apply certain things, what methods are going to work for each party, and how is this going to work in the long-term interim of the sexual man or woman, the habits to observe or the habits to change, and the release techniques and procedures that need to be applied to mentally, emotionally reprogram or reformat that person from a level of being changed to the same habitual levels of layers of response or reaction. Or if you're in, like, kind of like, for instance, in my situation for the longest time was reactive abuse syndrome, to where I was reacting to a lot of pathological abuse or levels of social media abuses and provoking a gaslighting that reduced the credibility of my abilities, although I had the certifications and I still have them, and they're active as of today, and things like that, and me being a life coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, health coach, and marital counselor and specialty in those areas because I've lived it. I've also walked the walk, talked the talk, and I know what I'm talking about, as well as going through the paradigms of coaching, which allowed me to be qualified to do that. I just don't diagnose, and I will tell you guys up front, I'm not here to diagnose until I'm finished up with my medical license and everything else, registered with the DEA and other different things like I have to go through as a medical doctor to be able to prescribe and treat medicines and things like that and follow protocols that are required of doctors. So when we think about that level of layer, that's on another level of paraprofessional. But as a paraprofessional, yeah, like I shared with my followers and things like that on Twitter and Facebook, years of documentary of things that went on, it was hard for me to come back from a lot of embarrassment and humiliation and levels of degradation of my abilities, my credentials, and my certifications, and also getting my degree in a level of human resources and business management, and that encompasses levels of organizational management, organizational leadership, strategic management, all the things that I'm certified to be able to do, and that piece of paper allows me to log that and be able to also, with emotional intelligence, be able to talk to you guys on a level of layman's terms, but also in professional terms for those that are in business and management and those that are going to be going into leading your people within morality, welfare, and the organization, being able to keep up the morale, the welfare, and the organization and the recreation, and keeping up the mental health, emotional health, wellness, and well-being of the staff. And that's part of staff and program development, things that I went to those areas when I was at the college that I graduated from. And my alma mater is CSC, and that's where I graduated from, and you can get there from here. And with that being said, I learned that you can get there from anywhere, including up to hardships and things like that, even manufactured, unethical, immoral, just all the way, all outdoors, wrong hardships that were manufactured for me to go through. And part of that is a level and layer of not staying there and trying to break those chains and strategies to implement change. Part of that took a lot of inner shadow work and a little bit of understanding that where is my responsibility and response and reaction and doing the best that I can to improve my argument when I was outlining everything that was going on and being able to share with you guys and being vulnerable with you guys that some things did hurt me, some things did harm me emotionally, some things did take me down through it, but I still stood there tall and said to myself, you know what, I may be, well, you know, it's oxymoron because I am actually short, but, you know, you guys understand what standing tall means. Meaning standing up in adversity and walking tall and saying to myself, I'm not going to let you go and knock me down and I'm not going to get up. So part of that is understanding those levels of telic and paratelic states and then using biofeedback and analysis and being able to understand that from other people and incremental changing of habit patterns and two ways of knowing and symbolic levels of space and understanding that and giving myself enough space to go and take the symbolism of life, the hardships of life, the signs in life, and the little things ambient around to go gather the lesson and then try to find a blessing in between all of that. And then the reality testing and the reversal theory of being able to improve my level of cognitive, emotive, rational therapies and systems, and then words and meanings, and active in achieving goals over those hardships, and jumping those hoops and things like that, and then remaining in that eternal circle, the all-seeing eye, and that level of ray of light, and I am abundance mindset from scarcity mindset to abundance mindset, laws of attraction mindset, and begin to look at the three worlds and the semantics and the differential equation of that. And the semantics of awareness and being able to create a level of communication and effective communication without remaining in the hurt phase, or anger phase, or nuclear upset phase. Although I'm able to tell you guys rationally, emotively, that yes, I'm still nuclear upset, but I'm able to improve that level, a layer of animosity, wanting to scream at the top of my lungs, and, you know, just wanting somebody to pay for everything that they've done. And it goes into explorations of that. So we're in the first segments of all these levels of teachings and things like that. Because once we go past 1, 2, and 3 in modules and 4, then we get into the levels of motivation and then opening focus and things like that and the state of mind that we need to be at. So we're going to get and delve into the main part of this so that we don't go too far, but being able to go and look at the level of transpersonal psychology and the level of psychiatry and psychology that has to be done. And when we talk about most psychology and psychotherapies, you know, we're looking at just personality traits at the surface. But it's more in recent years, a variety of transpersonal psychology has emerged, which combines perhaps reintegrate the level of psychology and the personality with theology and the soul and beginning to get to the core self, two disciplines and two concepts that have been firmly separated in a level of materialistic, maternalistic level of a Western world understanding versus Eastern, and then Christianity, and the levels of collections of books from different authors and gurus who've understood that you still have to go back to the level of the mystical enlightenment and levels of the eternal energy, chakras, and values that help you to cleanse your levels of energy. And then no matter what industry you're connected to, or whether it's personal, professional, or at a level of celebrity, you begin to translate that into medical scientific terms and Anglo-American levels of audience and understanding on the Western side and levels from the Eastern side and the psychosynthesis of that. And those are developed in the 1930s. And also a personality, I have a soul. And each one of us has a soul. And right now we're fighting for the soul of the nation, for each one of us to become whole. And together I am Christos illuminated all together, all as one. And as we implement those changes, we have to psychologically, emotionally, spiritually begin to understand these disciplines, and the personality begin to change emotionally. And then on top of that, the superficial and levels of changeable, interchangeable things in context of the medicinal, medical state of the Western world, and bring us together in a melt of making a level of trying to break the chain and strategic to implement change, and then begin to understand the self and the soul of the self, which is connected to the universe and universally in the United States, where I'm at and stationed at, and beginning to understand the levels and layers of interchange, core change, and our Christos, I am illuminated Greek, levels of Christos, illuminated one, shedding light. So you may call in live 515-602-9765, and you can go to talkradiodiva.com, and you are more than welcome to text us at 515-602-9765. Prepared to do more, text us at 866-727-9333, toll-free, or 404-GEORGIA-418-5104, and you may text us and let us know how you feel about the show. Let us know here on our clubhouse and the strategies to implement change while it's open. So I will take people and hands raised in there, and you'll be able to ask me questions, and we'll have that engagement and conversation on our clubhouse, and as well as we're doing our live streaming tonight. So with my night owl and things like that, sometimes I will have that, and I will have you have a level of layer coming in at night, and we have these conversations live and in effect. So with that being said, love offerings are accepted at $IMC60Coaching, Dawn Diva Coaching, Team World Online, Talk Radio Diva, with Talk Radio Diva, the power to do more. And I'm not telling you you have to do that. These love offerings go to the growth and expanding of the business. You guys are my shareholders into the business, in the expansion of the business. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Also come into our clubhouse, Strategies to Implement Change. And we're going to get on into the nitty-gritty. We've been on 27 minutes, 44 seconds. Welcome, welcome. Any viewers, you are welcome to call in live 515-602-9765. Or you may call 866-727-9323. And that is international for all people. We're listeners all over. I have listeners in Afghanistan. I have listeners in Iran. I have listeners in the UK as well as Australia and Canada as well as the United States. And you guys, thank you so much for listening so far. And thank you for helping me to begin to continue to reap the benefits and the rewards of allowing myself to speak with you guys and give you guys a little bit of common knowledge about coaching, paradigms of coaching, and things like that. Again, love offering dollar signs, IMCC Coaching, dollar sign, Dawn Diva Coaching, dollar sign, Team World Online, and dollar sign, Talk Radio Diva. And you can log on to talkradiodiva.com, and you may do monthly donations as well as you are able to do it one time. So you can log on there. So enough about that. And we think about affirmations, what does that tell us? Emotional resilience and affirmations of a mindset. Part of that is being able to think to ourselves, how can I bounce back from anything that's going on in my mind, in my world? And how do I begin to look at I am grateful? So begin to look at being I am. And our I am mindset, affirmations help us. I'll give you one that I'm 100% grateful for my life. I'm 100% grateful for money. Money is neutral, and what matters most is what I do with my money. And what I utilize my money or the donations that I get is to the expansion of the business. As I tell you guys are all the shareholders in this business and the growth of this coaching and wellness practice, as well as the recovery and the organization of the clinic. That will be open. So when I tell you I am generous, big-hearted, and ready to help anyone, wealth naturally flows to me as a result. I am grateful. I'm grateful to my Creator and His abundant graces and generosity. I know where there is abundance in this world. I choose to receive that abundance, and then I begin to look at that. I refuse to let past beliefs keep me from getting wealth or achieving wealth, and then what I deserve. I reject any myths that I have believed that are unsupportive of my goals. I am embracing my natural greatness and attract good things. I make more than enough money, and if anything comes as a gift, I put it towards the business and expansion thereof. Therefore, I welcome any levels and layers of abundance or any type of donations and things like that that go to the expansion of the business. And again, I wanted to let you guys know we have a giveaway going on right now. You may get a t-shirt or a mug or a dress, depending if you're male or female, or if you're cisgender female, or if you're cisgender male and you identify as female, I will be more than willing to give you a large dress if you want that. And I embrace the LGBTQIA community and happy pride. Happy pride. Sorry. So with that being said, money is a good thing. I make more than enough. I am a wealth magnet. And when you think about the I am abundance mindset, you don't always have to be super uber rich. What I mean by wealth is mental wealth, emotional wealth, financial wealth, as it comes and as the Lord or our Savior or whatever God you serve sees fit. So when you think about all of these different things, you speak that into existence. I focus on abundance. My mind is incredibly powerful. What I focus on expands. What I give my attention to grows. My mind controls the outcomes of what I experience in my life. I have a mindset of abundance. I attract positive things because I constantly think about positive things in my life. I manifest that destiny, and that is what we mean by chakras. And our outer life is extremely positive because my inner life is also extremely positive. No matter what hardship I go through, I look at it from an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset. So when we move from that mindset, we begin to look at a level and layer of resiliency and finding ways to move forward in that. And I'm going to give you some tools on that. And I wanted to ask you guys, how resilient are you guys? We need to learn how to assess resiliency. Because part of this in implementing strategic planning is learning what can I bounce back from. When we think about all of that, we think about how resilient are you? Resiliency does not eliminate stress or erase one life difficulties, but if you are resilient, you understand that there are setbacks and challenges as part of life. You accept that life is sometimes hard and painful. Your mental outlook allows you to work through these difficulties and recover. Resiliency gives you the strength to address problems directly, successfully overcome adversity, or manufactured orchestrated adversity and move on with your life. So we think about what to do. We twiddle our thumbs often, and we have to ask ourselves the following levels of statement in our resiliency analysis. And 0 to 5, where 0 is never and 5 to always. I am self-disciplined. I would say right at a 5. I tend to take things one day at a time. I would say somewhere around a 4. I maintain interest in people, activities, and things. I would say that's kind of like right at an even 3.5 because I've gone through so much, I just don't have the capacity to pay attention to everybody. I'm literally working on the inner self. I consider myself, well, unless I'm coaching, then it's all eyes on you, and then I begin to work with you, and it's all about you when you're in my coaching office. So I'll say the 3.5 with that. I consider myself to be determined. I would say 5. I can juggle many things at a time. I would say I'm right at an even 4 on a good level of life, going pretty well, and probably sometimes 3.5 when it's like kind of up and down, and a 5 when my life is kind of like running smooth. There's not no snafus, kerfuffles, and things like that. I can juggle many things at that time, and I don't give up. Even though sometimes things are difficult, I persevere. Yeah, I would say it's a whole 5. I take things in stride, avoid getting overly upset. I try to most of the time. I will give myself an honest 4. On a very good day, 3.5 on the worst levels of life because it's just like a emotional roller coaster, like I told you guys. And I'm mastering the art of staying calm and the majesty of staying calm, and that takes a lot of practice. I'm still doing that. I am confident I can get through difficulties and challenges. That's a 5, definitely. I'm a very positive-minded person. I don't believe in being what I call toxic in mindset or being negative in mindset because I've never liked being around negative Nancy's or negative Nelson. Those type of people get on my nerves because they find a problem for every solution. And when we think about a person who finds a problem for every solution, then you're going into a level layer of people who are trusted. Those type of people are never winners in life. They're always losers, or they want people to be losers with them. Yes, I said loser. I trust myself. Yeah, I would think I would trust myself right at even 4.9. I give myself a margin for error because sometimes you just can't trust yourself 100%. Ever since I went through a lot of things that changed my life, I would give myself a 4.9. I enjoy learning new things. That is definitely a 5. I consider myself to be creative, and I easily think outside the box. That's definitely a 5. I am proud of what I've accomplished in my life. I would say that would be right at 4.5. I think I could do better, but everybody says, I think I'm going to achieve a lot, but I'm a toxic overachiever, so it's never going to be a whole 5. Let me see. I always manage in one way or the other. Yeah, that's a whole 5. I consider myself to be competent and good at doing things. That would be a whole 4.5, sometimes 5 on a good day. I am confident in my abilities. I would say that is right out there at a 4.9. I've got 1% margin for error because of lots of things, like imposter syndrome. And I went through that period of time once a lot of things knocked me off of my mindset of being capable and able and ready. So I had to go work my way up back up to an even 5, but it's almost there. So we're like at a 4.99. I have confidence and my ability to adjust to change and find ways to positively cope with that, I would give myself a 3.9 because I'm getting bigger. And due to the levels of things that happened in my life, I would say that it's been a lot, and the toxic environment has been one of the reasons why, and it's been an arduous, torturous, miserable environment, and it's been a provoking, gaslighting, ambient-provoking, coercive control environment, and a level of toxic environment in the city and county that enables it, and the levels of, you know, constant provoking, gaslighting, and things that are being done, even when I'm on my lives, the constant disturbances and distractions, and the levels of egregious misconduct, things that will be handled in federal court, civil court, county court, criminal court, with restraining orders applied to each and every party involved, including up to the levels of antics and pranks and provoking and gaslighting that's been done habitually, and it's just really become a nuisance at a point of a level of I will have to work on that and also work with the ability to cope with the toxic tormenting, gaslighting, intimate partner violence, and then on top of that, workplace violence, which my home during COVID is my workplace, and the disrespect and misconduct, IT antics and provoking and gaslighting that Ivy Tarock and Ranger T6 and several others at Council C20 you did, and several others that are connected to the nasty Kick Nisha, Monica, and several others who were on the hiding as far as knowing all the things that they did. There's levels of warrants and lawsuits, investigations that need to be done, and the discrediting and the disrespect, and it's all gone too far. So those are things that have caused that imposter syndrome, and those people need to be held responsible, fired, terminated, and walked out for all their bullying, terrorism, provoking, gaslighting. And my workplace business and homeplace business is my home base for my coaching and things like that. And nobody in their right mind would sit there and target someone in their home-based business through COVID unless you're a disrespectful, misconduct-laden, abusive, divisive bully. And each one of them need more for their arrest and messing up my levels of economic standing. And then also discrediting me and playing these nasty, narcissistic games, and I want a warrant for their arrest effective immediately, and all the scamming con artistry that they've all done. They need to be held responsible because it's gone too far and it's habitual at this point. So when we think about levels of torturous, arduous levels of relationships, I have removed myself from that, and my self-worth and self-confidence is really elevated, and I never want to be with somebody who looks like that, even if sadistic game-playing psychopath does the test and needs to be diagnosed and be in a federal penitentiary and walked up for all of his disrespectful misconduct, embarrassment, humiliation, torment, and torture and abuse that he's done to me, as well as the woman that's involved, including that, and she needs a warrant for her arrest, you know, contact order and restraining order. So with that being said, I think we're at it even somewhere around 5. So that's on average. So these are just questions and things like that. How do you deal with emotional pain? That is another question that we have to ask ourselves in resiliency. And what I want you guys to know, and that is being resilient does not mean you will not experience difficulties or distress. If you have suffered a level of adversity or trauma or a level of inflicted PTSD from dealing with trauma or inflicted orchestrated series of pathological, emotionally abusive, divisive, deadly, homicidal events, or things like in my experience was being poisoned, being provoked, gaslit, being messed with my water, being messed with my products, and things like that, psychotic, bullying, sadistic pranks, provoking emotionally abusive, tormenting environment, an environment in a city and county that enabled a lot of these disrespectful misconduct, ambient abusive, the provoking gaslighting, playing with my groceries, doing all the sick psychotic crap that this man has done, damages to my house, damages to my roof, damages to my AC, damages to my car, you know, damages to my business model, stealing business models, doing all the scamming and con artistry that they've done. And, you know, levels of building up a level of resiliency through the emotional distress and things like that, the emotional pain that I suffered, and the level of layers of cognitive therapy that I had to go through, and the levels of inevitable part of life that I had to deal with and say to myself, I should no longer deal with this by myself. Let me seek a professional. Let me seek a therapist. Let me see if it's the problem with me. When a therapist is like, there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with them. I'm going to explain everything. And, you know, that's where I would encourage anybody to go do fact-finding. If you're a therapist, and now I'm with a specialist because I told my therapist I want to be present for my clients, and as I'm going to go to school to be a psychiatrist, psychologist, I want to be able to make sure that I get past the levels of upset, anger, and ire, and the levels of feelings of wanting revenge to move to a place of peace and serenity that I'm getting to, and a level of ascension and spirituality to move past it so that I can let karma and fate handle those people instead of me doing it, because if I handle it, I'm going to jail. So with that being said, I want people to understand that and the breakthroughs that you have to do and the level of inner shadow work that you have to do with a psychotherapist and a what we call a psychoanalyst or a psycho-level of forensic psychiatrist and psychologist, and especially when you're dealing with trauma and PTSD. And my main specialty that I will be going into is trauma work, therapy work, and those that have dealt with that. And then the levels and layers of marital problems and toxic blame, toxic shame, victim shaming, and all the things that I went through. And it's not easy to share this with you all, but I wanted to make sure that we're vulnerable, we're sitting down, we're having this conversation, and we're talking about all the things that make us uncomfortable and make us feel a certain way. And we begin to look at all of these toxicities that keep us from going to see doctors and begin to look at it, whether you're in a poisonous environment, but still going to seek that medical intervention, medical help, and begin to go talk to the help, as long as the help is not a quack and unearth, like what I call quackery, you know, not doing the forensic work and doing the things that made me fall through the cracks and took so long for me to get to the recovery phase and get into the level of journey that I'm at. And my journey is on the latter part of it, where you guys didn't see me in the best elements of my life, not at the worst. You all have seen me in the 2 and 3 years windmilling online, having to go and deal with the disrespect, the misconduct, the emotional pain, the bullying, the terrorism, the smoking, the gaslighting, all the things that would make anybody angry and upset and at a point of ready to windmill at somebody and just beat the brakes off them because they've done too much and they took it too far. And the disrespect, misconduct, and I'm not naturally inclined to violence, but instead of getting to violence, I had to get to a point of saying, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my butt to a therapist. I'm going to go sit down. I'm going to have this conversation. I'm going to redraw out where I'm upset at, where I don't want to let things go, or where I do need to let things go, and begin to work my way through the grief process and begin to see myself past the emotional pain. So anybody who's suffered adversity or trauma in your life, you've probably experienced emotional pain and stress or distress or under duress, that same exact thing, and I've been through all of that. So, in fact, resiliency is often built through emotional distress and learning how to go and jump that hurdle of distress and moving into I'm too blessed to be distressed. And a level of emotional pain is inevitable in any part of life, whether the pain is associated with trauma, loss, or disappointment, a level of inflicted grief, or a level of life changes, and you can begin to develop strategies to lessen and manage the struggle. And the struggle is real sometimes. I will tell you, as a paraprofessional and working a level layer of presentation while going through all the embarrassment, toxic shame, toxic blame, humiliation, 2 and 3 years, all the emotional abuse, tormenting, the gaslighting, the disrespectful misconduct, and I've workplace at home, and I've deployed a level of, you know, programs that I had designed, did everything that I could to be professional and automate all of my stuff and do what I need to do to have a home-based business, and yet they continued all the smear campaigns, all of the misconduct and emotional abuse and torment that nobody in their right mind would do to anybody if they actually cared about them. I don't care if you're joking or not, you don't do that. So when we think about all these emotional pains and things like that, you begin to develop those strategies because you know you need to, and the struggle is real. And like I tell people, you don't want to be struggle bus junior, and you don't want to be on a level layer of, you know, examining your emotions and taking a level of reactive approach to it, but you want to begin to look at the reactions that you may be having, if they're unhealthy reactions or they're becoming a level of stress or vital sign damage and things like that, or levels of deterioration of your physical health, emotional health, or your well-being, then begin to go to say, I need to go to a doctor to help me manage this instead of me trying it myself. Let me get on interim med management until I can get to a point of therapeutic. And then from there, you could be weaned off of medicine over a period of time, or sometimes you might find it's okay to have medicine here and there, PRN, for you. And that depends on what the doctor says is okay for you. And as you, as a patient, you're in the driver's seat and begin to have effective communication with your specialist, your doctor, your psychiatrist, psychologist, or your ARNT and things like that, or your physician's assistant, and begin to say to yourself, I know what I need, but I need to convey this to the doctor in such a manner that I don't alarm the doctor if there are certain things that are said in the conversations with that doctor, whether male or female, trans, lesbian, gay, homosexual, heterosexual. It doesn't matter what the doctor's sexual orientation is. Once that doctor is a good doctor and has a good level of moral ethics and fact-finding to find out what's wrong with you to begin to fix you, because there's nothing really wrong with you. It's just that your mind or your spirit or your emotional self is broken from a level layer of tragic levels of misconduct, emotional abuse, or things like that, or anything that's gone on in your life that alters your life, even if it's a loss of identity, loss of your job, loss of who you are, or generational chains that have to be broken, or levels of toxic chains that have to be broken, strategies to implement change. So that's what this month is all about, because I want you guys to understand that and taking those actions and begin to learn to build those resiliency methods and tools and cope with emotional pain. And part of that is the date that it happened, painful thoughts and feelings, sensations, emotions. What did you respond? How did you respond? When did you respond? And the outcome of that response. And as you do this, begin to look at that. Is there anything that surprised you during that level of exercise that I just told you about? Did any of your actions typically lead to positive outcomes or outcomes that caused you to suffer more? Begin to explain that to yourself and begin to look at that and reflect. So I want you guys to understand those different things. And here's some things to recognize words that help you to appreciate your resilience. We're going to go through a list of words that help us to build those things. Ambitious, analytical, appreciative, artistic, authentic, caring, charming, clever, communicative, compassionate, confident, considerate, courageous, creative, dedicated, determined, disciplined, educated, empathetic, energetic, enthusiastic, fair, flexible, focused, forceful, generous, grateful, helpful, honest, hopeful, humble, humorous, idealistic, industrious, indigenous, ingenious, integrity, intelligent, kind, knowledgeable, leadership, lively, modest, motivated, humble, observant, patient, persevering, persistent, persuasive, practical, precise, problem-solving, prudent, respectful, responsible, self-assured, self-controlled, serious, socially intelligent, spiritual, straightforward, strategic, tactful, team-oriented, thoughtful, thrifty, versatile, warm. Those are all words that help us build positive nature, positive words, positive things that come to our speech about ourselves. So a positive self-talk, the things that we talked about yesterday. I want you guys to understand all that and resiliency, and we're going to talk about more tools tomorrow, but challenging those assumptions. We're going to talk about that after we get through this level and layer of this process, and I'm going to make it short and sweet. I've been on here quite a bit, but I want to make sure that we're going through everything and making sure your success rituals that we talked about before go into play with all of that. And, you know, we talk about discovering our talents and what is our fear. And then we have to look at the fundamental ladders of those rituals to success. And our morning rituals, we talk about that. Our evening rituals. And business rituals if you're an entrepreneur. And the power of our thoughts. And disempowering levels of rituals that disempower our negative thoughts. And going from that level. So we'll talk about all that tomorrow in the sense of going deeper into all that. But I wanted to go into disempowering rituals that help us. And part of that is to help us begin that mindset. And we're going to talk about these in Module 1, Success Rituals, Fundamentals, in the beginning. And, you know, don't be scared of the word ritual. Ritual is a synonym for the word habit. We all know that our thoughts and actions are a period of time will determine how we progress in life. So positive yields positive results, and negative rituals will reduce undesirable results. So we have many rags-to-riches stories, and you might be a rags-to-riches story waiting to happen or a rag story waiting for the right ritual to change your situation to riches. So when we think about this, you'll never know until you examine your life and make necessary modifications, time to break those chains, strategies to implement change, and begin to implement rituals that work in those modifications and behavioral modifications, emotional modifications, environmental modifications, and it's time to change your perception about rituals. So learning to discover all those different things, and rituals produce those results, and different results become a level of effective levels of rational emotive therapy, and beginning a unique ability for you to discover the uniqueness within yourself and your talents, whether mediocre or great or above average, and then all those of a level of excellence. Building your rock solid success rituals start with these levels of the ladders that you have to go and climb, which means small steps and what we call breakthrough from last month and beginning to go to a level of breaking those chains that are keeping you chained from making those ritualistic changes and patternistic changes and habitual changes to get to a level of rituals that work and that don't cripple your mind and begin to go and put into action steps to break those changes and strategies to implement that change. And then an incredible mark of the lines of the history of how your feelings are, turning the depth of in your gut, in your chakra, in your mindset, your third eye, and beginning to hit your mark and your target and begin to shed light, your crystals, your illuminated light, your abundance, and your scarcity mindset be leading you to an abundance mindset. And then you have to think about what is the fear. If I had it, or if I could, you have to look at your resources that you have and say to what I have. And then you begin to break through that glass. And you begin to say to yourself, dispel your fears and take the necessary steps to set realistic goals and timelines for your concepts. So that's part of your strategy. And with your ideas, you'll feel the power of fear had over your mind, slowly losing that its grip. And then fear will continue to lose its grip on your mind, and you begin to fear not. And when your concept becomes a level of action, an action step, and going ahead, you begin to move from wobbling legs, shaking fingers, and take your leap of faith, and begin to look at the fundamentals and the ladders of success rituals, which we'll go into a little bit more tomorrow. So with that being said, I want you guys to be more familiar with that, understanding and goal setting and time management are equally important in the success rituals and the fundamental ladders of abundance mindset, laws of attraction, illuminated mindset, I am mindset, and illumination of your mind, spirit, body, and soul, and your better version of yourself, and moving through hardships and setting medium goals to a level of harder goals as you get there, and begin to look at assisting in the developing skill sets and discovering the talents and amazing abilities that you have that you're not aware that you possess. So that's a level of hard work and determination, and it will transform your goals into a level of I think I can to I am and I will to a reality. And they begin to look at the work and the hard times that come along with it and the hardships and anticipate the levels of partial results from the levels of layers of your action steps and beginning to make major results and fuel hard work, and the hard work keeps paying off over time and you begin to see yourself changing. And that transformation takes time. And it's just like Muhammad Ali. When you think about this, it's impossible to achieve by only having one thought. When you think about how you use the level of hard work and hard work keeps you into determination, both of them have to be used together consistently, simultaneously. And thinking, determination, hard work, they are like Siamese twins. You have to look at them as being joined, and it's difficult to identify one from the other. But Muhammad Ali had a quote that has an element of humor to it that clearly depicts what you have to do if you want to achieve your goal. And I will tell you, I met a Muhammad Ali when I was a teenager in high school. And the best way to make your dreams come true is to wake up. I have a book signed by him, and he's an amazing person. You have to wake up and be determined to work hard. And Muhammad Ali is one of the greats, just like Roy Jones is one of the greats. And one thing I listen to Roy Jones is you got to do what you're born and bred to do. You have to know what your talents are, and you have to do it with excellence. And we think of the great Mike Tyson, and we think about all the people like that, people who are great boxers in this world. They didn't start out just being a mediocre boxer. It took time, took perseverance, and it took practice and becoming more determined and becoming over those hardships and things like that and becoming a better, I am becoming great. I am a great one. I am capable, and I am becoming. If you look at Michelle Obama's book, I Am Becoming, you'll understand that mindset. If you look at Barack Obama's book about becoming a greater person, a greater man, or a greater self, then you begin to look at that. If you're a woman, a cisgender woman, you become a greater woman. So I want to make sure this mutually exclusive to all sexes or whatever you identify as. And making those improvements to your skill and your skill set are another set of levels of Siamese twin work. And begin to doing the inner work, the chakras, the mindset, and the hard work that comes with it, and overcoming obstacles and things like that. And you can gain success in other areas of what you made plans for initially as you begin to go and make those small steps and those time to break those chains, strategies to implement change, and the discovery of new abilities by attempting to work on improved areas of your plan for yourself. Also, you can employ someone who completes the task in your revised level of proposal and having that dream team or level of spark team or anything like that. And if you hire an individual to perform the work or other people who begin to help you at the support system and happening and getting those dreams to come true, and then begin to look at whatever business or a level of personal transactions that you've initiated. So when you think about this, the final success ritual fundamental for me is to never fear failure. It is also inevitable that you will fail at some things as you stage your plan and you begin to move into the levels of strategic planning and have to start your journey and entirely from the first step. You may have to come back to square one and come back to one. Your failure might be a minor thing with a few adjustments can be picked up to a progression level to success. And if you fear failure, you have to learn to fear not, trust the process, and begin to accept it, analyze what the possible cause or causes is, and start strategizing, and then begin to immediately correct that and also prevent it from reoccurring. And your fears will begin to diminish and begin to fear not, trust the process. You begin to trust the light and the crystals within you and that we're all born with in our DNA, RNA, and things like that. And our success crystals are crucial to this. And because we all need them to become successful, we have to try to skip a step, but if we try to do that, we begin to look at, oh, dang, one small step that I skipped might be a pivotal step that makes me turn into the great versus mediocre. So we have to look at, we can make sure of a definite fall if we skip those small steps or the levels of time to break those chains and strategies to implement change. And step by step, you will discover yourself and find your soul purpose for being and award a level of gift of life and a gift and a tip of life to begin to sit there and look at the success formulas, the success rituals, and begin to employ them in your everyday, daily walk of life. You're going to learn to enjoy the roller coaster ride that life has guaranteed to take you on, but begin to cope better with things that begin to cause you to have a level and layer of being taken off your square. It's just like Dirty said, a poisonous environment can be every bit of that detriment, torment, or a level of torture or abusive divisiveness. Just like I told you, abusive bad marriage or a bad engagement that needs to end effective immediately, or a level and layer of toxic shame, toxic blame, or a level of humiliation, torment, and gaslighting, discrediting of a perfectly good business person. You have to begin to look at those different things, and you have to look at the people in your life. Sometimes your spouse is your biggest enemy. Sometimes your fiance is your biggest enemy, or your biggest jealous, most level of demonic energy in your life, a level of passive-aggressive energy in your life, a level of toxic energy in your life, or it could be yourself when you're divorcing them, and they're trying to make sure that they damage every bit of your presentations or your life, like it's been happening to me. With that being said, you still have to overcome all that and continue to focus, or it's like toxic people who are in management, who have no business in management, like Ivy Rock or Ranger T6 has done a lot of things to me, 2017, 2018, and told me to piss off and all these other different things, or told me F me and all this kind of stuff when I addressed certain things that were wrong, and then they turned around and said I was ranting. You know, those types of things that people do to discredit someone who's perfectly capable and capable of leading. So when you think about this, I don't compete with anybody. I'm not out to take anybody's job, but if your job is to effectively discredit me or do things to sit there and humiliate, torment, gaslight, provoke me in my workplace or my workplace environment, then you need to be taken care of, or you need to be handled effectively, immediately shamed and shunned, and then removed. Because once you do that level of disrespect, misconduct, or abusiveness and cause emotional distress or duress or any pain and suffering, then you need to be held accountable. So those are things that we learn in the emotional roller coaster of life that life is guaranteed to take you on. So no matter how badly you fail, or you get up and you fail again, or you get up and you succeed, you have to look at it as a beacon of light or a beacon of order or a beacon of a level of illuminated crystal, or a person who's shedding the light is the short term for it. And that means illuminated one. We're all illuminated some way. But the levels and layers of emotional illumination, physical and chakra, ascension illumination, and beginning to go and put that energy and ground ourselves in meditation, mindfulness, togetherness, and then begin to become present. And then moving past the levels of harm to a level of growth, a post-traumatic growth or radical acceptance. No matter how badly you failed in the beginning, you can always become a success, and you can always raise again and rise up to the occasion if you work hard and if you're determined enough. So with that being said, we're going to go into levels of rituals for highly successful individuals tomorrow, alongside the levels of layers of what we were talking about earlier, which was the level of layers of success, mindful health, well-being, and then on top of that, a level and layer of removing those different things that are causing you not to do things that are ritualistic, way successful for you in mindset, brain change, and change, and levels and layers of things that we talked about in the cycle levels of therapy and psychoanalysis, and fact finding that therapists have to do to get you to that level, to be able to get to levels of things that are performative and practice, and being able to get you in your mindset of abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset, utilizing those resources and beginning to look and put into the laws of attraction, and the energy you put out is the energy that you're going to receive, unless it's unrighteous levels of toxic, what we call breaking those chains of generational harm, hurt, or upset, or things that need to be addressed so you can move forward. So with that being said, I'm going to close out with a level layer of everybody shouldn't do anything as long as you put God first, and whatever God you serve, you have to remember you can't serve two gods, you have only one master. And even at that, whatever God you serve, you remember you have to have a level layer of you have to pay the Pied Piper eventually. So whatever you do to get where you're going in life, whether good or bad, you have to remember you still have to pay for the things that you do, whether good or bad to anyone. And you have to remember karma and fate and dogma. And there is no way to get around it. And karma does not forget an address, neither does fate. And they don't forget disrespect, and they don't forget disorderly misconduct, abusiveness, divisiveness, or levels of what we call complicit levels of layers of emotional abuse, torment, duress, or anything that has been inflicted on anybody who's been a subject of these types of people who are not together or broken themselves. And you cannot always help a broken person until they help themselves or acknowledge their misconduct, disrespect, or out of order, abusive, divisive, misconduct, or abuses that have happened to me. So with that being said, I don't worry about it. I leave it at God's front door, and I allow God to handle it, because, like I said, sometimes the best thing you can do and the best revenge you can have is the success. So with that being said, I hope you guys like the strategies to implement change theories on Clubhouse, and then on top of that, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I hope you call in live at 515-602-9765, and if you'd like to give a cash app love offering, $IMCCoaching, $DonDivaCoaching, $TeamWorld.online, and that TeamWorld.online total together, and then that TeamWorld.online on the website, and $TalkRadioDiva, the Talk Radio, the power to do more, and texting 866-727-9323, and that Stanford National, and 404 Georgia, 418-5104. And you may always do that. And you may leave a message, or you may let me know your email off the Join mailing list for talkradiodiva.com, or you may get it for INCT Coaching, Diva Coaching, QML.online for children, adolescents, and adults. Make sure you book your appointments at INCT Coaching and INCT for specialty appointments, QML.online for children, adolescents, and adults and families, and Diva Coaching for regular adolescents, young adults. And those who are not, I am, that's fine. I don't discriminate, as long as you understand that there's a level layer of me here to help. And as long as I can make sure that I each one reach one, teach one, and the I am abundance mindset, and that's lift up a hand for everybody else, being able to reach each one of you, shed some light, I've hit my target and my mark, and my all-seeing eyes to make sure that I see all of you, reach out to each one of you, and love on each one of your souls no matter what, and as a beacon of light to make sure that you guys understand that part of time to break those chains, strategies to implement change, is changing yourself first. So you guys have a good night. Thank you for attending this live. I'm about to take you guys on and out of here. Have a good night.